This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Bounced off the shit pads of Scheifele in the high slot. Here's Wheeler right down Broadway, shoots and scores!
Mantha coming across with Strome and lining it up for Ovechkin. He scores! Alex Ovechkin scores his second goal of the game and his 13th of the season.
In the box.
Gabriel back it up to the blue line. Anderson finds and fires. It's loose in front. They jam away and score. Guess who? Huberto.
To the line, Eberle. Burakovsky scores! Hey, hey, what do you say? Andre Burakovsky and the Kraken win this one in overtime.
TSN 1200.
We got some high-end players there. They have the most offensive zone time in the league. So clearly, you got to keep their top guys off the board. Zibanejad, Panarin, Kreider, you know, Trocheck. You've got to be aware of them when they're on the ice at all times. And then clearly, Fox on the back end, I think second in the NHL in points. So that's another guy that we have to be aware of.
Now with Graham Creech, here's Steve Lloyd.
And good afternoon. Welcome once again to it. Another abbreviated edition of In the Box here on TSN 1200. In between World Cup soccer matches. Oh, the Socceroos are through to the knockout round, as Australia ended up getting by Denmark. We'll take you till 2 o'clock breakaway for yet another match. And then, a grueling one-hour edition of The Drive coming your way at 4 o'clock because it is a Senators game day. Finally, back in this time zone, the Sens will play host to the New York Rangers tonight, 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Kenny Walls with you. Creecher, good afternoon. What's going on?
What's going on is it's Clementine season. Even though it's been pouring rain all day, I'm still riding the high of massive Michigan victory, a stomping of Ohio State on the weekend. So I'm feeling great on a game day here, Stephen.
Clementine season. Yeah, I got to go out and purchase another crate already myself. They're candy, is what they are. And like everything else, have you noticed how they've gone up in price, Creature? The grocery bill is it's insane. As you could get like a nice little box of clementines for $4 or $5. Good luck, man. Now, right? But I buy them anyway because they are that good.
I don't even remember how much I got them at Costco, and I don't remember how much they were. I was just kind of grabbing things, putting them in the cart, so I don't remember how much I paid for them. But I would say you're probably
$6 or $7 at least. Yeah, I think the last time I was there as well. Anyways. There you go. Price is right off the top of the show. Kenny nice. Walls producing the extravaganza. I will not ditch him. I will say hello to him nice and early here. Hi, Kenny. What's going on with you?
Good morning, Lloydie. It's more earlier than most days, even when it's a regular show. So that's wonderful. Hi.
3 minutes in. That's
three
wild.
Minutes in, and usually it's two hours and 3 minutes in. So it's wonderful of you, Lloydie. Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Right. Well, it is a Senators game day, and it's the first of a home and home for the Sens, and the Rangers are going to play tonight, obviously here in Ottawa, back at Madison Square Garden coming up on Friday. And the Sens will have their first back-to-back on Saturday. They're going to come right back here and take on Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks, who ended up shutting out the Montreal Canadiens last night. Want to hear from you? 12-1200, standard text message rates always do apply. Gentlemen, why don't we dive right in because we are short on time. You can feel it already here on a game day. We like to wrap up these game days, and usually when we have our full show, we'll carry the coach live. Well, we were unable to do that, so DJ Smith did meet the media. Kenny, we'll run that right here. And this is what the coach had to say about his lineup and about his team and the game tonight.
Coach, you don't anticipate any changes to your roster tonight? It looks like Derek Brassard will be good to go.
Probably be game time, but it's favorable that he'll probably play, but I can't say 100%. He's going to skate here this morning, and we'll see.
What do you expect from the New York Rangers?
Real good power play. So you clearly can't take penalties. They got some high-end players there. They have the most offensive zone time in the league. So clearly, you got to keep their top guys off the board. Zibanejad, Panarin, Kreider, Trocheck. You've got to be aware of them when they're on the ice at all times. And then clearly Fox on the back end, I think second in the NHL in points. So that's another guy that we have to be aware of.
0-for-2 on the penalty kill against the Kings. Did you see anything that you need to tweak, or were there just two good shots?
I think we made a couple mistakes, and I think we got out of what we do. Just weren't as quick, maybe. But we'll get right back to it. I mean, they're 8-for-8, the two nights prior to that, and help us win the game. So, penalty killing is a confidence thing, too. Sometimes when you give one up, you're a little jittery the next time. So we're looking to be sharp, bounce back tonight.
How has Derek been for you? He's been able to play a pretty good utility role for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, clearly coming into the year, he was going to be used to spot in on the wing, or if we needed a guy down the lineup, not foreseeing the injury to Norris, that's put a lot more pressure on him having to play every night, and I think he's done a really good job.
Is that where he had drawn his experience too, like being able to play that role?
Yeah, I think right now he understands exactly what his role is, and he understands how he's going to help us, in that role, whether it's on the second unit power play or it's winning faceoffs in the D zone. He's doing whatever he has to help us. And he's played up the lineup, down the lineup, just a good signing by Pierre to bring him in. Not saying that we thought he would play this kind of minutes, but you're happy to have a guy with that experience when something like this does happen.
With a couple of injured guys coming back past few games, and then obviously just two wins in a row, is this the first time you guys have kind of felt a little momentum in the past few weeks?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, outside of the start there at home before Josh got hurt, and the way you're grinding these out, maybe not Anaheim, the power play kind of won us the game there, but now you got to do it at home, and it doesn't get easier. The Rangers back-to-back are a good hockey team. And this is a game, these next two games, where you can really build on something if you can do it right.
Who's going to be starting in net tonight?
Talbot will continue to roll for us.
How would you describe his communication style compared to other goalies? When he's on the we just heard that he actually told Tim that Giroux was open in that overtime goal, like his communication on the ice. And I'm just curious, do you think he communicates more than goalies, other goalies?
Probably because he's confident, mature, and been around so long. I think the more confident you are, the more you talk on the ice, the more you want to, for a player, the more you talk, the more you want the puck, and it's the more confident you are. For him, he's been around a long time, knows the game, knows what needs to be done out there, and clearly he's comfortable in shouting instructions or what he needs done, and that all comes back to confidence.
How much did the injury kind of set him back in being able to communicate?
Well, and his rhythm, it takes a bit to get into a rhythm, and he starts out, and before we get rolling, he's hurt, and he sits there and he's not able to be a part of the team really, the camaraderie with the guys, and now he's in a rhythm and now he's feeling a part of it.
And I know this is going back to I just want to know, Josh Norris, how is he doing with his rehab? Have you talked to him? How does the future look for him?
Well, there's no timeline. He is, skating on his own, and, there's no pressure. It's going to be up to him whether he can, when he can handle a practice, and then we'll go from there. But at this point, he's not right there to practice with us.
He has to revisit the doctors too, right?
Yeah, there'll be all kinds of situations where people will give him the proper advice before we would put him out there.
All right, so a little bit of information there on Josh Norris at the very end. He has been skating, but by no means. I mean, it's we're not even into December. Well, that comes quickly, tomorrow. The timeline, I believe, is still the new year to even evaluate where he's at. So, feeling well enough that apparently he can skate on his own. So we'll see what happens coming up in January on that front. In terms of the lineup tonight, I guess Derek Brassard is the only question mark. So if he can't go, one would assume Dylan Gambrell will just draw into the lineup. They have not recalled another D, and they only have six here, so we know what's happening there. And I would imagine, Graham, that there would be a call up tomorrow on the blue line, because the next one is against the same team, but it's a road game. You don't want to be left shorthanded when you're out on the roads. But going to go with the same blue line that won the game the other night in L.A., and, of course, Cam Talbot starts in goal. Let's talk a little bit about the Rangers. We got into this a little bit yesterday. Are you surprised that they're just kind of – it hasn't been terrible, but they are on the outside looking in, and when it comes to a playoff spot right now. And I don't know, maybe my expectations were a little bit too high for this team this season, but I'm feeling a little underwhelmed here as the calendar is about to hit December.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people probably feel the same way, expected a little bit more. I don't think I expected them with a New Jersey-style record at 19-4, but again, depending on how you look at the 500 mark with the loser points, I didn't expect them to be 10-9-4 a quarter of the way into the season. Expected more. It'd be interesting to see. Like, I've watched a few games this year and bits and pieces of games of the Rangers. Looking forward to getting the live look here at Canadian Tire Center. But, yeah, I definitely expected them to be higher than they are in the standings.
All right, so we got a 5 o'clock pregame show tonight, 7 o'clock face-off there. A text has already come in on this, and we were going to ask Kenny's thoughts. Why don't we do that now?
Read the full text, Lloyd.
Tyler Boucher has been suspended again. So this will be over, I think, what, an 11 or 12-game stretch. He will have been suspended 8 games when this is all said and done. 2-game suspension for Tyler Boucher. And this text came in. Is this Kenny's burner phone? Anyways, would love to hear you lads' opinions on the BS suspension for Tyler Boucher. How in the world is that a 2-gamer? Would also like to know if the fella who laid out Stonehouse got a suspension for the hit. If you don't know what's happening or with this, hit up Kenny Walls in his Twitter feed, Long Balls Walls, and he has a video of the sequence of events, the hit. Which was a hit to the head of Stonehouse, and there was a major penalty handed out for that, and Tyler Boucher stepping right in and, I guess, taking care of business. And that was over quickly, that fight, and the OHL has stepped in and didn't like how Tyler Boucher handled that and has handed him a 2-game suspension. Kenny Walls, we obviously defer to you on this. You were there calling the game in real time. You've had time to digest this as well. You have context. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll start with the hit on Brady Stonehouse. It was made by Mark Boudreau, and I did not like the hit. I thought it was an automatic 5 and potential into double-digit suspension. I don't like that hit. It's an unsuspecting player, so you have blindside, you have contact to the head, you could argue elbow. I didn't like the hit whatsoever. So I don't mind Tyler Boucher standing up for his teammate. Now on to the fight itself. As you can see, in the corner, Tyler Boucher has the puck. As soon as the hit happens, he leaves the puck and goes to defend his teammate and drops the gloves, as does Mark Boudreau, who's ready for the fight. He knows he made a bad hit. He anticipates something coming, so he drops the gloves, is ready. But because Tyler Boucher is a man amongst boys, fighting a 19-year-old fighting another 19-year-old in this scenario, he overpowers him and misses on a massive first throw, first punch. Over the top, they both go down to the ice, and then Boucher gives one uppercut that I believe may have landed, and then two more as the linesman was in there, I think body shot that didn't do anything. So one extra blow, three maybe extra punches while the player's down on the ice. I don't condone that. I don't like it. But when you're going in to try and stand up for a teammate and you miss on the initial, I think your instinct is to try and do something, try and earn the major penalty that you've just taken. That's the scenario that played out. The way that the officials called this is why there is a suspension. There was a 5-minute head check called on Mark Boudreau, and then a 5-minute fighting major and an aggressor on Tyler Boucher before the punch is thrown while the player was on the ice. I understand it. I don't like the way that it was handled. I don't like the way that it was called, because it automatically led me to believe that Tyler Boucher was going to be suspended again and put the league in an awful position to suspend him for something that I don't believe should be suspendable. in that scenario if you look at it for what it actually is with punches that were thrown on a player where while somebody else was in between and those punches not landing. I don't like the look of it, but the impact it had was nothing. And the league has obviously shown in the past it cares more about the result of the play rather than the intention. And they've shown that over the last 20 years, give or take. So the reason why he got suspended was the way that it was called on the ice. Now, okay. To answer the other part of it, Mark Boudreau has not been suspended as of yet. The Sudbury Wolves play a game tonight at home, and if he's dressed for that, I think that is the biggest BS that I've seen in this league. There was a head check on Jack Dever last week on Thursday in North Bay by Alexander Lucan, where he absolutely caught Dever's head, picked it clean, in my opinion. No penalty, no suspension on the play. Same thing here. And then Tyler Boucher gets a 2-game suspension. I don't like it, but I understand why the suspension came down, why the league had to, because of the way that it was called on the ice.
Kenny, forgive me. I don't know the OHL rule for this. If it is deemed that it's a major penalty for a check to the head, is that an automatic game misconduct?
Yeah.
As automatic well, game comes misconduct, with it?
Yes.
Okay, so he was kicked out of the rest of that game for that. So maybe that's – I'm just trying to see it through. Why wouldn't there be a further suspension, right? If you've kicked him out of that game, that rule's in place for a reason. Like, you're there. Listen, I'm not disputing your opinion at mm-hmm. all. I am deferring to you. I'm just trying to read what the league is thinking here. Maybe we've already kicked him out of the rest of this game because that comes with an auto on that. And does every check to the head have to be a suspension? Is that where we're going with this? If we're going to make a call at all, and you just brought up an example where there wasn't a call, so there was nothing to see here, which was odd the way you described it on that recent example.
Yeah. But
the
way that they called it, if they called 2, 5, and 10 on Tyler Boucher, as I think it should have been called, 2 for instigating, 5 for fighting, and a 10-minute misconduct, he's done for that game. You call the penalty on Mark Boudreau, and Ottawa ends up with a brief power play after 2 minutes. If you want to call it that way, okay. Then Tyler Boucher is not suspended. Then the player still has the 5-minute major for the checking to the head, and Boucher feels like he did his job, which is part of what he's there for and will do at the NHL level. And when you project Tyler Boucher and you look back at these 8 games that he's been suspended for over this short time, he would be serving 0 games at the NHL level. I can guarantee you that. He would not be suspended. He would be there wouldn't be anything. To be very honest with you, at any other level, almost at any other league around hockey, a major junior hockey league and above, would Tyler Boucher be serving any games of a suspension?
Okay, so it is a 2-game suspension, so he misses the next 2. What's the timeline? Because we anticipate Tyler Boucher to be off to a World Junior evaluation camp, correct, with Team
Yep.
USA. We'd be very surprised if that didn't happen. How many games would that leave him before that happens, if he's suspended for the next 2?
2, maybe 3 at most. He may go on that trip down to southwestern Ontario, Windsor, London, Guelph. I don't know if he'd complete it or even if he'd start it. But there's a game on the Thursday, the 9th? Something on the 9th or 10th. So maybe he gets to play in those. But who knows? And the other part about the OHL that people have been asking me, there is no review process. Once a suspension has been handed down, that's it. That's all. Typically, a player will have to write a letter to the league explaining their stance of what happened. I don't know if that happened here in the Boucher situation, but on checks to the head, on checks from behind, on other penalized issues, a player writes a letter explaining what happened in their thought process and their point of view. The league takes that into consideration and then hands down a suspension, and that's it. That's what is going to be handed out. There's no appeal process whatsoever.
All right. More thoughts on that? Always welcome. Another BS one just came in at 1200. So Sens prospect Tyler Boucher is having a really good season. Had a good camp with the Sens. He's having a really good season with the 67s. But now, from the start of the season through very early December, he will have served 8 games of suspension. Now, unfortunately, in the Ontario Hockey League. We'll take a break. When we come back, other news and notes we'll bring you. The Leafs are getting another goalie back tonight for their game against the Sharks. A little bit of golf news. They held this event at the Bell Center in Montreal. And Mike Weir has been named the captain of the international team for the next President's Cup, which will be held at Royal Montreal coming up in 2024. Canada's got one more match left against Morocco at the World Cup tomorrow. We'll have it on TSN 1200. There's been lots of talk about John Herdman. Well, he's been on the record. You could see this one coming. Yes, he wants to remain as the coach through 2026 and that next World Cup. So we'll get some thoughts on that from you as well. We'll hit our web poll question of the day. Ooh, it's a good one today. Not that some of them suck, Creature, but let's be honest. Some are better than others, right? I like this one today. So hit our website at tsn1200.ca. And we'll hit on that next. Our Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. Of the On a Sense game day, we've got the Rangers in town. 5 o'clock for your pregame show. 7 o'clock face-off on TSN 1200. Rangers in town, 7 o'clock face-off. 5 o'clock pregame show coming your way. Later today on TSN 1200, Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Kenny Walls with you. Until 2, a little more World Cup action then. And then a one-hour edition of The Drive, and then Lee will take you through a pregame show starting at 5 this afternoon. Tool and Equipment Store, web poll question of the day. Now, the reasoning behind going with this question today is the Rangers are in town, and the number one overall pick from this draft we're going to talk about is Lafreniere. The question is, you can only have one. Is it Tim Stützle or is it Jake Sanderson, Sens fans? If you could only have one, the Carlson trade gave you both. But let's say you could only have one of these players in your team. Which one would you take? Would you take Tim Stützle or would you take Jake Sanderson? Cast your vote on the website, tsn1200.ca, the Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. I like it, Graham.
You like it.
Causes division.
Yeah. You mean between the listeners and the morning show? Because there are a lot of people angry. I can even see the texts between their show and ours about if you could only choose one, who would you choose between Hamer, JR, and Simmer? And well, they're taking heat. And I don't know. I'm debating going full AJ on this, full Dean on Creech for the top, and refusing to answer the hypothetical.
Oh, that's unfortunate. It's just a question about a hockey team, folks. Okay, this you don't have to take it too personally. If you pick one over the other, doesn't mean you dislike the other. But that is this day and age. It appears in social media. If you say something nice about somebody else, somebody will always come along. Well, that means you hate this person then, right? I think that's what's kind of going on with people that are upset with this question.
I don't know. I see that you've even responded to the web poll saying, no deal, I still want both.
I still want both. Yeah, I do. But I will answer the question. I'm taking Jake Sanderson. I will take elite defensemen over elite forwards. And I think they're both elite. These two guys are going to be superstars. Not stars, superstars in the league. And so when I split the hair on that, I'm going with the D that's going to be on the ice for more of a hockey game than I need to win. And I will take elite D over elite forwards. That's me. So
you know
that's how I made my call. And of course that means I despise Tim Stützle, everybody. I just can't stand him. That's what you can read into that.
Hey, you know what?
So I took Jake.
I call for everybody to participate in the Creech for the Top questions because it's entertaining. And I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't answer the question right now. So for the sake of answering the question, I'll also go with Jake Sanderson, and for the same reason. I think they're both elite. I think there's no question about that. And I know that you hear sometimes about Stützle's turnovers or whatever. This guy's 20. He's 20, and he's playing top center on the team, point of game. He's unbelievable. The talent is unreal. He'll learn anything that you might not love about his game right now, and he's ridiculous. But I think and it's clear by the struggles that this franchise has had the last few seasons. I know they were rebuilding, but you build championship caliber teams from the back out, and I give the slight nod to Jake Sanderson because I think you need that player on the blue line. Maybe a little bit more, but obviously want both players.
Now let's see if Kenny has anything else to say, anything different, or is this going to be kind of a clean sweep?
No, it's going to be a clean sweep. I prefer Jake Sanderson out of the two, but I echo all the same points. You'd lean towards the defenseman building through the back end. Yes, down the middle, but if you don't have a strong back end, down the middle doesn't make as much of a difference.
All right, so there you go. Stutzla's winning, though. It's a 57.7% Tim Stutzla, 42.3% Jake Sanderson. Keep the votes coming on our website at tsn1200.ca, the tool and equipment store web poll question of the day. And this question came up because Lafreniere is in town with the Rangers. He has yet to really pop in his career with the Rangers so far. I thought he had some really good playoff games, though. And it's still early, right? But at this point in time, if you did a redraft, he would not be going number one. But then again, let's check in another year or two, right? When you look back on that draft here, and Quentin Byfield, unfortunately, has had some injury and illness along the way that has hurt him, and spending some time in the American Hockey League, who went number two. As it turns out, the Senators were, in hindsight, put in a perfect situation where there was no way you would be criticized for taking Tim Stützle because there was a clear top three, Graham, and he was the last guy there. Pierre Dorion, how many times did he say that publicly when the lottery happened? And it's like, he just said, we're picking third and we're going to pick who's left. And that's exactly what happened. And it turns out it would appear that that's the best player of those three. Again, we'll wait and see. It's early, but if we're talking today, you know, Tim Stützle has had a much better start to his pro career than those other two. And so that kind of everything kind of came up sends on that one, where you didn't even have to make a call. Now, as you know, the consternation came at number five with Jake Sanderson about what they were going to do. There were some that didn't even think Jake Sanderson was the best defenseman on the board. Maybe it was Drysdale. Raymond, well, that decision was taken away with the previous pick. But there was so much talk at the top end of that draft. I mean, it could not have gone better.
No, it couldn't have.
You can make the argument the Sens got the two best players in the top five.
That's what I was going to say next, is that it's not a stretch to suggest, and I know it's only 2 years after, but to suggest that they got the two best players in the draft at 3 and 5. That's incredible.
All right, so Lafreniere's in town tonight. He was taken number one with the New York Rangers, and we got the game for you coming up at 5 o'clock with the pregame show and a 7 o'clock face-off right here on TSN 1200. Keep those votes coming on our website with our tool and equipment store web poll question of the day. Other things in and around the league to hit on here. We discussed part of our web poll yesterday about teams that were maybe surprising, and I said could have put a team like Dallas in that list at the start with Jason Robertson, and we talked about Rupe Hintz signing his long-term extension yesterday. Well, Darren Dreger, who will be on with Lee at 5 o'clock, dropped it on Insider Trading as we're into that post-American Thanksgiving window now, where usually we see a deal or two around the league as teams have kind of reassessed. The Sens have had some scouting meetings, and that got everybody buzzing last night. Not a big deal. They were having scouting meetings in Montreal. That's why there were so many scouts at the Habs game last night with the Sharks in town. But Dreg's dropping that maybe the Stars are recalibrating and looking at their great start to the season. They could be in the market for maybe a top six forward here to try to round out their group and try to get things rolling. And the Hintz deal about, I asked you, do you think that possibly could affect any DeBrincat negotiations with somewhat in the same age bracket of a player with DeBrincat and Hintz. and Hinn's getting well over $8 million on his AAV. Could that impact there? Well, more than the apples to apples, even though he's a UFA to B, still somewhat close in age and value to the team. There's a lot of speculation now that maybe that is going to impact Bo Horvat and the Vancouver Canucks and Dylan Larkin, for that matter, with the Detroit Red Wings. And I want to ask you about Horvat here. The longer this goes, the more you think that maybe he could be on the move here, because they've committed a lot of money to JT Miller, which I found a little surprising. It appeared that he was destined to be traded, but they ended up locking him up here. And, Creature, I'm curious to see what the value of a Bo Horvat's going to be on the open market here. And we're still waiting for Bruce Boudreau as well. It just seems that's going to happen at some point. Like, Vancouver is really still a team to watch right now.
Oh, big time intriguing. And I've asked, last time I spoke to Dregs, I believe that was the Friday afternoon game, an update on this situation. And a couple of times he's mentioned that, and he pointed to the JT Miller situation, that he wouldn't rule out reconciliation or a pivot or whatever you want to call it to bring back the player. But with where they're at in the standings, and I know that they had a stretch where they were climbing a little bit. I know they lost their most recent game, but they got back to, what, a game under 500, I believe, at one point. But it feels like... At some point, maybe they make more than one, like multiple significant deals from this roster. You mentioned the head coach. I don't have a feel for this whatsoever. But I guess if you were to ask me to pick, I'd lean that he probably ends up getting traded. But I thought JT Miller was getting traded. So I don't know.
All right. With that, we'll take another quick break here, come back with one more segment this hour, and then we're going to bring in Gord Wilson to kick off our second and last hour. Only a two-hour show again today as our Sens and NHL insider. I'm going to get into some of these text messages that have come in here. There's some Clementine recommendations coming in.
Oh. I have a question for you. Do you think AJ would have answered the web poll today?
Whew. Man, that's a tough call. He's hot and cold, right?
Yeah.
He's hot and cold. I think he would have answered it. And I think he would have said Jake Sanderson for some of the same reasons that the three of us said Jake Sanderson. And also, you know, his family is friends with the Sanderson family. So I think that would have tipped it over the top.
No, look at you. That's good research, good information there.
Okay, there you go. Clementine update for you. Yeah, Enzo, you're right. I walked by. I just got a smaller bag of them. I didn't get the crate because I just thought I'm not paying $7 for a crate of Clementines. But that's what they were going for, Graham.
Yeah,
$7.
You know what? I just wanted them. I didn't even look at the price, so I just crushed two of them in between our first and second segments. Thanks for the text there, Enzo.
Now, do you have an IGA around? Where is the closest IGA these days?
I think Quebec side.
Quebec, that must be a Quebec
text. I could
be
wrong on that, but that's my feel for it. I used to work at an IGA, though.
So that was my first job. I was a grocery packer at an IGA when I was 14. Good tips,
nice.
Creature. Yeah.
Well,
can I? You need help to your car, ma'am? Yes, dear, I could use some help. Get to the car. Here's a quarter. Thank you.
Actually, you know what? I had totally forgot. I definitely received some, like, $5 tips for doing that kind of thing before.
I get the odd tip, helping the little old ladies to the car or their groceries.
I think we ended
up tipping
ourselves.
Would that be paper or plastic, ma'am?
We ended up tipping ourselves a little bit with that job. One other fun story while we go to break, we're on the topic. We used to have a buddy. There was like six of us that worked there that were like in the same buddies group all throughout high school. And there was a pizza like three or four doors down from the grocery store, and they had this ballot box where you could enter your child or niece or nephew or whatever to ride the Zamboni at a Sens game. So we stuffed the ballot for one of our buddies who you have to be under 12, I think we were 16 or 17 at the time, and my buddy got a call and had to let them know that he was 17. He didn't know that we were doing it. Every time somebody got a pizza, we'd put his name in.
Oh, there you go. Well done. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with more on In the Box on this game day. Sens and Rangers tonight on TSN 1200. I want to get some thoughts on some notable happenings last night in the NHL. It was an interesting night for Matt Tkachuk and his return to Calgary as the Jonathan Huberdeau, for those who follow the Flames, and had a goal and an assist, but also they just called that his best game as a Flame to help Calgary with a win over the visiting Florida Panthers. Oh, where would the Panthers be without Spencer Knight? This Sergei Bobrovsky, he's back to the form that he showed when he originally signed the contract with the Florida Panthers.
Which isn't a good form.
It's terrible. It's just terrible. So that wasn't helpful for Florida. And anyways, the Panthers lose the game. And Tkachuk had a pregame availability and said all the right things. And but the way it happened, right, it's easy to see, of course, if you're a Flames fan, you feel scorned. For sure you do, right? So they had a bit of a video tribute, and there was a standing ovation for him, which was nice. But then every time he touched the puck, the boos rained down. But I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it might have been a little bit worse for Matthew Tkachuk in his return to Calgary with how it all played out. How do you feel about it? Are you a little surprised like me, or was that about as what you expected?
Yeah, I'd say close to what I expected. I knew that he was going to get some boos. Like, he was definitely going to get that. When talking about being in a Canadian market and having a desire to not want to be there and then immediately sign a long-term extension with the team you're traded to without having played there or being at the facilities kind of thing, experienced any of that. There's going to be some passion and lots of emotions from Flames fans for sure. So I expected that. Maybe I expected a little bit more. But I definitely expected a little bit of a love, too, because of the type of player he is. And like he would have been a fan favorite big time in that market. So there's still going to be some of that. So I guess I would say more or less, although I guess I'm kind of with you and thought maybe it would be a little bit more with the anger and hatred kind of thing that spewing from the fans.
So it was a big win for the Flames, and they've got to get a little more consistent with their play. We'll see if that can, you know, help them along.
Both teams.
Getting an emotional win, yeah, for Calgary. So I was my viewing last night, Graham, I was kind of flipping between, you know, I was watching earlier a bit of Montreal and San Jose. Then I kind of was going between the Flames game and the Jets Avalanche game. And I ended up sticking a lot more with the Jets Avalanche game because I was just so impressed with the Winnipeg Jets. You know, I see their record. I've seen some of their games, tidbits here and there, tracking the highlights, all that stuff. I know that's like, well, they were on our surprising team list yesterday with our web poll question of the day here. And watching them play against Colorado, they're for real. That's a really good team again, the Winnipeg Jets. Like the feeling I think people had around them a few years ago when they were so deep and it had been the blue line and all of it, right? Or they ended up, when they had their run, they went to the conference final, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back
against
in
Vegas.
Against Vegas, that's right. Yeah, that's when they lost to Vegas in 2017. This Rick Bonus, I gotta tip my hat to Rick Bonus, who's come in there. And he came in and kicked the door down by stripping the C off of Blake Wheeler. Goes into that situation, does that, and it's in the middle of the Pierre-Luc Dubois talk with his agent publicly saying he wants to play for Montreal. It's like, okay. And it's Winnipeg is one of those cities in the league where it's not that desirable for a lot of players and free agents, and that's something that they're always going to battle against. Bonus comes in there, culture change. You can see it. You can see it, the way they play. And they were all over the Colorado Avalanche. They were full value to put the boots to the Avalanche last night. So that's, I forget how I voted. If I had seen that game the night before, I know I would have voted Winnipeg because I just didn't know how good they were because I watched most of their game last night.
You either said Winnipeg or New Jersey. I don't remember. I know I picked Seattle. I just didn't see that coming. whatsoever. But
how about Seattle last night in L.A.?
Yeah,
9-8 in overtime.
When you first started talking about, what games you were focused on last night, I'm like, he's for sure asking me about Seattle.
We'll get to that first.
But to Winnipeg, what you said exactly. Like, Lloydie, we had discussions in the summer about should they blow it up because they have a lot of pieces that they could still receive a lot of assets for. But
they tried to trade Wheeler. They did, but it didn't work.
Not Wheeler. Like you mentioned, Scheifele after
the end of the season. Postseason.
Like, is this guy, does this guy want out? Pierre-Luc Dubois, this guy's not going to sign an extension. They already have had underwhelming seasons back-to-back-to-back.
Their coach quit midway through last season. He says, I'm out. He put the keys on the table.
To summarize, Paul Maurice was right. They needed another voice, I guess, and it's Rick Bowness. It's crazy. I didn't expect that. Just with all the stuff that went on, I didn't see that coming.
No, they were a team at the start of the season. Everybody's like optimistic. We were talking about it from a Sens perspective, and you think, well, if the Sens if they can't add that big D they're looking for, what about bringing back DeMelo? No, he's a big part of their team right now, and a big part of their success. And Josh Morrissey he's having a number one defenseman type season, where all of his teammates are joking with him, calling him Norrissey, with the way that he is he's come out as well. And Hellebuck is back on form as well. Anyways, I watched a lot of that game last night. I'm gonna want to watch more Jets games. That was fun to watch. They're a fun team to watch again, and really really good team. Full value for the win over the Avalanche. Now. I mean, what year was it last night between the Kraken and the Kings? 9-8? 9-8.
Yeah, what was JR saying all morning? 1982 rather than 2022? Insane.
And the Kraken pick up 2 points. the Kraken continue. What are they, 11-1-1? Something like that?
Yeah, yep.
In the last 13 or
six-game heater right now, plus 16. Goal differential in the year, 14-5-3. That's why I voted for them yesterday. I thought they would progress from last year, but I didn't see this coming. Unbelievable. What a game. Point night two. Just looking at Matty Beniers with the rookie, the scoring leader in race, couple for him. A lot of people had point nights, obviously. I
think Fiala had four assists, and so did Eberle.
Yeah, just wild game, and I think for me, like, there's so many things, but we talked about this dude yesterday too, but the fact that Martin Jones won a hockey game giving up 8 goals because the Kings played 2 netminders. Seattle didn't. Martin Jones let in 8 goals and got the
just
win,
baby.
Oh man,
who cares about stats? Just win. That's a W, another W for Martin Jones. In the win column, right there, last night.
They don't ask how. Just how many. Wow.
That'd be an interesting stat to research, which I'm not going to do it. Well, if somebody else wants to do it for me, go ahead.
I might have the answer depending on what the question is.
How many goalies have given up 8 in a hockey game and won?
I don't know, but the last goalie to do it was Mike Vernon, February 23rd, 1991. 10-8 win over the Nordiques. Ooh. Calgary outshot Quebec 59-22. So Vernon's save percentage was .636.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. All right. There you go. Well, that's a good answer. Good. You had one for me. So
I had
the last
something.
Time.
I had something for you.
That's good. I like it. You had something. Awesome. All right. We'll see if Gord's got something. Gord's always got something. Gord Wilson, our Sens and NHL insider. Teeing you up for the Sens and Rangers tonight. That's next on In the Box on TSN 1200.